going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. We've hit the 10 o'clock hour, folks. Three picks in for the Saints today. We're going over what the Saints selected at the second round, getting Tyler Shaulk, quarterback out of Louisville. Then in the third round, making two selections. The first one, Texas defensive lineman Vernon Broughton. And then it was Virginia safety Jonas Sanker going to the black and gold with the 93rd overall selection. Tomorrow they've got four more picks for the black and gold to still select. We're going to be keeping an eye on that for sure when we hang out at Rouse's tomorrow. You can join us there at the Rouse's on Power Boulevard. Right now we're here at the Hooters in Metairie with craveable food and wings, cold beer, and $5 margaritas as we get ready to hear from the newest St. Jonas Sanker, and also from head coach Kellen Moore as this day two of the NFL draft wraps up. But first, we're going to do our WWL news break. As we hear from Chris Miller with more on WWL. Steve Geller with Saints legends Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, draft analyst Mike D'Attilier, and Mike Haas bringing you every pick of the draft plus all-pro analysis. You can join us at the Hooters in Metairie with craveable food and wings, cold beer, and $5 margaritas as we're getting ready to close out day two of the NFL draft. There's still deals being made with the Minnesota Vikings still to pick on the last selection of this round. The Denver Broncos are currently on the clock. The pick is in, and we're waiting on that. Upton Stout, cornerback out of Western Kentucky, just got selected by the San Francisco 49ers. Before that, it was Charles Grant, offensive tackle from William & Mary.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, looking at Mike, William & Mary, and then Savion Jones. We got to interrupt here. Savion Jones finally gets picked, edge rusher to the Broncos. Going to Sean Payton.
101 to.
So he does take LSU players.
Yes, he does. with the Saints.
That's right, just in Denver.
Yeah, Savion's a guy I've known since probably the 10th grade at St. James High School.
So, Mike, isn't he getting better? How do you, like, Bobby, you know, like the ceiling for him? You know, it seems like he's gotten better. Or what do you think?
One of the things is when he came to LSU, he was in the teens. He was probably 218, 219 pounds. I told Coach O, where are you going to play him? And he's like, Mike, I think he'll grow into a defensive end. Then he got to like 280 pounds. He put that weight on him. Pete Jenkins said he messed him up the year he coached him.
Put him
he
in said, the interior?
They put him inside.
He said,
Mike, I didn't have nobody. And he said, I really messed him up. He is a very low-key personality, doesn't talk a lot unless he knows you very well. But we saw this year him really accelerate his game. Plays, there always has been a good run defense player. You see him now with a better set of moves and counter moves to get off of offensive linemen. Man, I'm so proud of Savion because I've known him for a long, long time, and a guy from on the River Parish who really, really took advantage of that situation.
Well, the Houdat Nation, we're always going to show our love, appreciation for Sean Payton and what he did for the Saints organization, bringing us a Super Bowl. So that's why they AFC. I am not anti-Bronco.
You gonna show some love?
I'm not anti-Denver because they AFC. And then you got an LSU player going to Denver.
Ain't no love for Sean Payton no more. No,
you can't root for Denver and the Chargers, though.
No.
Here's the final pick of the third round.
Harbaugh. No, I'm friends with Harbaugh too, though. Jim Harbaugh.
Don't ask him what happened.
But how you pulling for Big Red then?
Who you call Big Red?
That's Kansas City.
Andy Reid. Yeah. I don't know Andy Reid. I only cheer for who I know. And, like, you know, you have a personal relationship, dude. You know what I'm talking about.
I got you.
Like, I know Sean Payton. I know Jim Harbaugh. I don't know John that well, but I know
Final
Jim.
Pick of round three is in, gentlemen. Wide receiver.
It's Tay Felton from Maryland. Also, let me add this. The former LSU defensive end coach, Jamar Cain, who was at LSU for a short time before Sean Payton recruited him to Denver, he coached Savion Jones.
See, that networking.
There's a connection
right there.
But Jamar was there for, I think, a few months, and then Sean came get him to be the pass rush specialist for the Broncos. But Tay Felton, last pick in the draft in round three. He's from University of Maryland. Big play guy for him. And goes to the Minnesota Vikings. And who knows who threw him the football this year? Will it be J.J. McCarthy?
That's who they're banking on.
They banked a lot on J.J.
Yeah, they're banking on it. And so,
you know what? If I was Aaron Rodgers, that's what I would try and do.
There you go.
Hey, you smoked it now. Because yesterday I was like, Aaron Rodgers needs to come to the Saints. But we drafted a quarterback. We all right.
You knew they were going
to
draft a quarterback.
I mean, no. Bobby,
he's got a secret agreement with Pittsburgh.
Really?
You could have told him anything, and he'd have bought that.
Really?
I'd rather go to the Vikings. I like a supporting cast. I don't think the Vikings want him. The young quarterback at the Vikings?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know nothing about McCarthy.
Do they stunt his growth?
I don't care, stunt nothing. I'm trying to win now, the Viking.
You set him up on that.
If I'm trying to win, and listen, I think Aaron Rodgers, and look, if Sam Darnold could do it, why Aaron Rodgers couldn't do it with that Vikings team? I don't know. And look at the NFC North.
I was going to say, look at the division. You better.
Yeah, you better bring it.
And
tomorrow, it ain't no development.
Tomorrow I'm wondering how quickly Braden Swenson, the defensive end, who really played well last year for LSU, and Miles Frazer, the guard, comes off the board in this draft. So I think they're both going round four.
Guys, going to welcome in now Jonas Sanker to the WWL Radio Huddle after getting drafted by the Saints in the third round just now. Thanks so much for joining us, Jonas. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good.
Welcome on in. You're here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, our NFL analyst, Mike Dettillier, and the great Deuce McAllister as well, former Saints running back. We're going to go to Deuce to lead it all things off, Jonas.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you congratulations and welcome to the squad. And, you know, just what I got to get your thoughts on what it means to you to be able to be coming to the NFL and to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an honor. And, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, I'm grateful for the Saints, you know, investing in me and taking a chance on me. So, you know, I'm not going to take that lightly. And, you know, they're going to get my all.
Position, or at least a secondary position, what are you most comfortable with? Is it at the strong? Is it playing the nickel? Is it at a free safety? Where are you most comfortable playing? And, you know, just talk a little bit about the versatility that you have on that back end.
Honestly, I feel like I'm comfortable wherever. You know, I've spent my whole career, you know, playing all around. So I feel like being versatile and being able to fit in wherever, you know, just gives me the ability to play, you know, wherever they see me. So, you know, I think I fit any way they see me in their scheme.
You know,
I had one more for you. That was supposed to be my last one. Special teams wise, do you have the ability to be able to, you know, play on the core teams, whether it's from the return standpoint or being able to be a cover guy, either kickoff, end, or punt?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I could play anywhere. And, you know, I'm a football player, so, you know, wherever they see me playing on special teams, you know, I'll be able to do it.
You know, you say you're a football player, but it seems like you got a pretty damn good IQ. Look at all the schools that were recruiting you. I mean, I don't think they're, if you're Dartmouth, Yale, Penn, Harvard, Boston College, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you had Virginia. I know that's some real schools that you just don't show up. You just don't show up for roll call. You got to go to class. So that is that something that your parents or your surroundings? Because that's impressive. That your background and your intelligence, not only as a football player, but as a college student, whatever it might be, to be on this level. Just talk a little bit about that and your background, because if you're getting that kind of recognition, you must have been pretty damn smart in high school.
Yeah, no, you know, UVA definitely took school seriously, so, you know, I took pride in that. And then all throughout high school, you know, my dad was the headmaster of my school. So, you know, he didn't let me slack for one second. So, you know, I've always, you know, taken pride in everything I do. And I think that reflects a lot in my character and then just how I approach everything.
He wasn't getting no skip days.
No. That's right. People think that's good. That's tough, baby. That ain't. That's not. That's a tough thing.
You know, Jonas, I'm looking at, and I think you kind of elaborate a little bit with Deuce on this. Looking at your ability to play both deep and in the slot, and you know, you're playing at the NFL level, you can't be afraid to tackle. I was reading where your size and versatility are two big boxes that you checked off, and you have the ideal frame for an NFL safety prospect. So it seems like the more you could do, whether they put you in the box, they put you in the slot, or you're going deep middle, that's something, and like Deuce said, you play on special teams. The more you could do, you know, whether you're an interior offensive lineman, whether you're playing center, guard, whatever, you're never just one thing. So I know you took pride in that, and then you're flexible enough to be coachable, that what do you want me to do, and then you continuously grow and try and excel in that.
Just learning and, you know, just watching guys ahead of me, but then also just responding well to coaching. I think those are going to be two big things. Coming in with a humble mindset, just, you know, understanding that, you know, I'm new to this level, you know, I'm new to the scheme and everything. So it's coming in with an open mind, being ready to learn. That's really all it is, and then being ready to work.
Onus, one of the things, and your coaches brought this up about your communication skills in the secondary, and I think a lot of times people don't realize, you know, with everything, all these crossing patterns and changing up coverage, they always trusted that you would put these guys in the right spot. You knew what to do, but you were getting other guys to be put in the right position, and that to me is a big statement when coaches give you that type of responsibility.
Yeah, I take pride in that. You know, that goes just into preparation. So for me, that was just, you know, understanding that I had to know everybody's job, whether it was DBs, linebackers, D-line, just understanding everything, understanding the scheme. And that allowed me to kind of just speak openly and just speak quickly, just because I had such a good understanding of everything going on. So really just, you know, goes back to preparation.
Now, Jonas, not everything is 100%. You always want to continuously get better, high school, college, and into the pros. I was reading where, and this happens, because sometimes you want to have that edge, and, you know, not that you're guessing, but I'll say I was reading where sometimes you need to improve on your eye discipline. That's a part of, you want the defensive coaches to trust you, but sometimes you got to know when to take a chance. And just talk about a little bit about the eye discipline and what you're looking for going forward in the NFL, because obviously you're going against better competition, and just the aspects of that eye discipline playing on the back end in the secondary.
Yeah, no, that just speaks into just coming in with a humble, open mind, understanding that there's so much room to grow. And, you know, me as a player, I know that, you know, there's so many things I want to improve on, not just eye discipline, just every aspect of my game, just want to keep improving. And with that mindset, you know, the sky's the roof. So just having that mindset, keep working on eye discipline, keep working on waist to footwork, you know, man technique, tackling form, just everything. So just finding ways to always keep improving is going to be a goal for me.
Say, this is Mike Haas. I do play-by-play for the Saints along with Deuce McAllister, who you talked to first. So let's get first things first. Say your first name for me.
Jonas.
Jonas. All right. Very good.
So no J.
Yeah, no, no J. J. Just want to make sure. I don't want to get it wrong first night. I want to keep going. I'm from the Commonwealth of Virginia, like yourself. I'm going to let it go that you didn't go to James Madison where I went, but we'll let that go. So you come to a secondary with veterans like Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed. So you have this unique opportunity to me where you can learn from some guys, yet you have an opportunity to play. That's got to be a good kind of feeling for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm excited to, you know, see what some of those guys are doing. You know, obviously have so much talent in that room already, but, you know, I look at that as just an opportunity to grow and get better as a player. So, you know, I'm ready to, you know, attack the day and attack the opportunity ahead of me. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, Jonas, when I'm looking at everybody heard, and especially in these parts, I mean, you know what's intriguing? All of a sudden, now you're in the NFL, and you're playing with Honey Badger. You're going to be in the damn meeting room. You know, and Tyrann Mathieu, when you think about it, because, you know, I'm sure you watch football growing up, and you might see, like, man, look who you're with now, and you're on that level. Boy, you got to take a lot of pride in that and just take advantage of this opportunity that you're playing with the likes and all the skins he has on the wall, or like a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
Yeah. Nah, definitely. You know, I watched him in college, watched him in the pros. So, you know, excited to, you know, learn from a guy like that.
Jonas, just curious, some of the guys that maybe you looked up to or tried to model your game after.
You know, guys like Buda Baker, guys like, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton. You know, that list goes on, but that's just kind of a few to, you know, name them. Just, I'm always watching. I'm always, you know, trying to get better off some of the guys ahead of me.
Definitely looking forward to seeing you as part of the Black and Gold and the Who Dat Nation. Definitely going to come out and see everything you're all about during training camp. One thing we got to hear from you right now, though, joining us here on WWL Saints Radio, your first Who Dat since you've been drafted by the Black and Gold now, Jonas. So just curious if you can give us a big old Who Dat for the Black and Gold fans after out there.
Y'all want me to just say Who Dat?
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's our battle cry. Yeah, man. Yeah, you got to give us some effort.
Hey, okay, John. Jonas.
Bobby's going to teach you.
I'm going to teach you. Okay, you got to say, Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say they going to beat them Saints? Who Dat? Okay, I want to hear it now.
No, I just say, all right, Who Dat?
Yeah, but you got to say, Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say ain't going to beat them Saints? Who Dat? Come on. You smart enough. I know. Look at all those Who Dat.
Yeah, he's looking at it. He's looking at it like, what's wrong with you?
Who Dat?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, what is these guys down here talking about?
I know.
Hey, you South Louisiana. That's a new one for me, but I tried.
It ain't gonna be for long.
I know.
It ain't gonna be for long, baby.
Let me tell you, I know they love football in Virginia, but you're in the real deep South. In Louisiana, we love our Saints. The Gulf Coast Gulf Saints, it's a religion. And listen, it's gonna be a spiritual experience you playing for the Saints. I'm telling you right now, the Who Dat Nation's gonna love you. Come on, bring it.
Welcome, Jonas. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, man.
I appreciate y'all. I'll see y'all.
All right.
Jonas Sanker, safety from Virginia, joining the Black and Gold, the 93rd overall pick.
You know, he's
Agent Cannon. That was a great.
He's calling
legend.
The Saints. Going, look, I think I'm gonna play baseball.
I think I'm gonna play baseball. They yelling, talking about a Who Dat.
Why are they yelling at me? I just signed.
Wait, you just want me to say Who Dat? What are you trying to get me to do, man?
I gotta get that check.
Hey, well, you gotta understand it. This is Yale, man. This man went to Virginia.
He's like, where's the verb?
Man, what?
Let's break this sentence down.
Well, no, man, because you know what? Hopefully.
Adjective, verb, noun.
Because hopefully he'll have a long enough career in the Saints.
Oh, no, he gets it now. But, I mean, Bobby, you just telling him right away. I mean, this young man, he's Shakespeare. He's way deeper than your normal football player.
Well, you can't be too smart for your own good. I mean, come on, you can't do the Who Dat chant.
Dude, I ain't saying know what the Who Dat chant was.
I just told him
you
what
did.
It was.
You did.
After you did it.
I was a good teacher.
Yes, and he did it after that. But before, he was like, wait,
what? This is
what
like
you
last
want me
night.
To do?
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Don't be pompous. You got to be humble. Just come.
He was awesome.
He understood after you explained it to him.
You know, he going to have to go in the dome and get the dome all rocking and do the hoot chant.
First game, I want him doing the hoot at chant.
Man, Luke, the first game.
Preseason game.
Well, he got to do something first.
Yeah. That's why I said preseason.
Preseason. Yeah. Well, hoot at say we go on a break right now. We're here doing our trainsouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Returning with more. Stay tuned for Coach Kellen Moore coming up on WWL Saints Radio. Right after this, we'll be back on WWL.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage here at Hooters in Metairie. Well, guys, with three picks on the board for the black and gold this evening, Louisville quarterback Tyler Shaw, Texas defensive lineman Vernon Broughton, and Virginia safety Jonas Sanker joining the 2025 draft class for the black and gold. Yesterday, we know Texas offensive tackle Kelvin Banks was the 9th overall pick for the team. And we got 5 more selections tomorrow. Like we said, we don't know if we'll hold on to them or all or not.
Well, I change like the wind. I'm no longer.
Oh, that means you're coming. Are you coming in at 11? Then?
No, I'm no longer. I am no longer on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon since we got a quarterback.
I called him. He's very upset.
That was a short bandwagon.
We wanted you to teach him the Who Dat chant.
No. If I was Aaron Rodgers, I would try and get my behind to the Vikings. Because I think the NFC North is going to be that highly competitive. And I don't know if that quarterback, he hurt his knee. Mike,
what about Pittsburgh?
Hey, hell no, Pittsburgh ain't doing nothing. I'm telling you, it's the Vikings.
Didn't Deuce tell you they got a handshake deal on it?
With the Vikings or the Steelers?
No, Steelers.
Man, I would change that handshake. I ain't put my name down on no paper. I ain't written nothing. You know how name, image, and likeness? Because like, LSU had the Michigan quarterback.
He had a better situation over in Minnesota.
Exactly, Deuce. You know how we LSU fans thought they had the Michigan quarterback?
That Underwood.
Underwood
did pretty good with that, didn't he?
All of a sudden.
Who was that? Ellison? Larry Ellison?
Larry was like, how much you want? $4 million? I'm worth $100 billion.
Listen, and with Oracle, and you can't blame him, he grew up 30 miles from Ann Arbor. So now his mom and dad don't have to get in a plane to come to Baton Rouge. They can drive 30 miles and go watch
it. It was going to be a private plane anyway, Bobby. Yeah.
But all I know is that they paid him with 3 times more than LSU. Man, that money talks. If you're 17 years old, I'm not saying he's worth it. But if that was your son, dude, you're going to have some stud sons.
Hey, well,
come on, you're going to be part of name, image, and likeness.
Well, if it's that, we don't have a choice. You don't have a choice, Bobby.
You have talented kids that's going to have an opportunity. I know you'll be all up in that guiding them, name, image, and likeness, and all because of our.
We'll see what happens. No,
come on, you're a capitalist.
But you're just a freshman.
I'm saying if it comes to a situation like that, you definitely evaluate it. You see what's happened. You don't walk away from it.
No, you don't walk away.
It's not like, you know, some people get to the point where they say, well, it's that's life-changing money.
No,
that's a life-changing situation. You're not talking about, well, you can get it in basketball is different, but football, it's still 3 years.
Right.
You're not guaranteed, as we see, guaranteed to say, hey, I was just a 5-star. I'll be a first rounder. It doesn't happen like that.
Not everybody's Cooper Flagg.
Well, basketball.
Basketball,
he only has to play 1 year.
You can be after 1 year.
Well, the thing is, you could be a stud in high school. Doesn't mean you're going to be a stud in college. And you could be a stud in college. Doesn't mean you can be a stud in the pros.
No, I mean, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
The NFL is the one place where, from a 5-star standpoint, they don't make up the majority of the roster. Mike, you know this.
They don't.
It's normally 2 and 3 stars that make up the majority of a roster of an NFL team.
Cam Ward was no star.
He was a zero recruit.
A zero.
Late bloomer. Star. Give me that.
Well, late bloomer, but also probably I wonder how many of the mega camps did he go to.
He went to 2, he told me.
So 2 mega camps. And then you say, all right, well, I don't like him because maybe he's not tall enough.
He might be little.
He's little when I saw him, or his arm strength wasn't very good.
Right.
So I don't even give him anything as far as a ranking. I don't even make him a profile.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You know who also was a zero recruit? The quarterback at Army. He's a Texas kid
that goes to Army, and look what he did last year for Army at quarterback, that running quarterback.
No, yeah, he
but he was a zero recruit coming out of high school, and he was in Texas, where they got camps all over the place for quarterbacks.
Well, Mike, this is a good question. I'm glad you brought up the one in academies, like Air Force, Navy, or Army. So let's say you're thinking long term, I'm not really maybe could be an NFL player, boy, but I could get a great education at Air Force, Army, or Navy. And is that one of those, once you're in that club, and then let's say
you got to sit out 2 years.
Well, you need a waiver.
But what I'm saying.
But
what I'm saying, let's say you're an outstanding player at the Naval Academy or West Point at Army. And that it's like, are you in the club like they'll take care of as far as job opportunities? Nothing to do with football. But if you go play, let's say you had a son, because you know, like Mike Gann, I played with Mike Gann with the
Falcons.
What's
your question?
It is the question. It's like, okay, like Mike Gann he's from Colorado, was an All-American high school, goes to Notre Dame. And he played with Jerry Faust. And we'd always give him a bunch of bull because he's the only guy that played in Notre Dame when Notre Dame sucked. It was the worst team in Notre Dame history. Now he goes to the Falcons. Now his son played at Merritt.
Did we get the question?
No. I'm still waiting on him to give me the question.
No, wait. His son played at the Catholic High School in Atlanta, Marist, and he goes to Army. But, you know, by him playing at West Point.
Opportunity.
He's in that club. You're saying, like, going to the NFL?
No, okay. I'm talking about opportunity. That's sometimes
100%. Major ones.
100%.
The
doors open that just from not only from academy but the relationships that you have, and then you look at the opportunities to be able to say it's the right club.
Right,
Particularly if you're not – if you're not going to have the opportunity to play
NFL,
at the next at the NFL, then I 100%.
Yeah, to go to school.
No question about it.
And the one thing, like speaking of opportunities, Aaron Rodgers going to Minnesota. That's the opportunity. That's the opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. Deuce, as we look to tomorrow, and so I agreed, I thought the second and third round would have been way heavier running back.
Nope, didn't go as many.
There were four. Mm-mm. Total,
yep.
In the second and third round. That's good. There's some running backs out there that we thought might have gone second and third round that are still available.
Yeah, and the other receiver. The other one was tight ends. The other position I thought that you would have a run, and I think we probably saw three, maybe four tight ends go today. I thought that you would be a little bit more heavier there, but not a lot of running backs went in the second or third round, and not as many tight ends as I thought went in the second and third round.
Well, my number one concern right now with Deuce, and now I'm more on your bandwagon, is we got to get a veteran cornerback in free agency. I'm still worried about damn cornerback.
Well, no, I'm 100% worried about it, but Bobby, I didn't want to, and I'm still in that position. I think if you're talking about third round, asking a guy to come in and have to play 70 snaps.
Yeah, you can't be the weak link.
I'm coming after you every time.
Yeah, you always. I remember that play.
Isaac Yetem, Green Bay, week three of 23.
And you know what? Now he's got more experience.
Yeah.
He leaves the Saints. He goes to the 49ers.
Comes back.
And guess what? Coach Staley was with in San Francisco. He said, I kind of like that, Isaac.
Yep.
Let's bring him back to New Orleans.
Yeah, well, I think he's a good
depth.
He's a guy that I can depend on that to step in and play.
He got some experience.
Yeah, he's got some experience. But to be able to say that I am going with a rookie at that position for – an extended period of time, 17 games,
I'll never forget this. You know who I burned? I remember playing this from University of Oregon, and Saints drafted him in the first round. Alex Molden?
No.
Whoever Alex Molden was covering, I remember. It was like, I'm not talking about going against him every third play or every other play. No, it was every damn play. I remember. And Mike, you know why? Because he was a damn rookie. I remember.
And so, like, I'm not against adding a rookie to this roster.
Right.
I think they definitely need to do that.
And we'll do
it. But I think that also, if you're talking about going with a guy that has some stripes on the wall, I would probably feel more comfortable, me personally. And the staff, it's going to be their choice. But I'm just telling you, from looking at it from the outside, looking in, that's what I would do if I was in their shoes.
Boy, you know what? I think I threw 80%. And every other pass, a touchdown. You know who probably the worst cornerback? This against Atlanta.
Not Elbert Shelley.
No, Charles Demery from UNLV. I was like, and Jerry Glanville were putting him on an island. And I was like, there ain't no way he could cover like Aaron Martin. It was like he was Floyd Turner. He was getting burnt all the time, Mike. And I was like, I'm going to throw an 80% against him.
One more thing as well, Mike. Tomorrow would be the day because
running back.
Well, not just running backs, but tomorrow would be the day that you see a player traded for maybe a draft pick as well.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
And it's really because you see what a team has done with their first, second, and third round pick. So maybe a guy, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe one of the defensive ends for Atlanta that was on the roster. Now okay. They have picked two other defensive ends. So one of my number two guy.
Gotcha.
And then he picks.
Well, now, hey, no, I'll give you a fifth
jettison
pick.
His salary, too.
Well, I can get rid of his salary. I can get rid of his salary. I can give you a fifth rounder for a guy that you were probably going to cut, you know, because now he's your fifth pass rusher where he used to be your third pass rusher. Here's another situation.
Man, where's that damn muffler?
God almighty.
When we come back, because I think we got to go to break, I'll get you to talk about Woody Marks because you saw him at Mississippi State. Yep. Man, I thought he was terrific at USC.
Yep.
Dynamic guy. But
Woody is whose name I couldn't think of earlier as well.
So, Steve, I think you got to go to break, and then we'll come back and have Deuce talk about Woody Marks.
Does Kellen Moore know he's coming out to talk to us?
We're waiting for Kellen. We'll stick around for more of our trainsout.com.
Bobby, we going to hold court if he don't come out?
That's right.
Hey, damn right. I can hold
court. Day two.
Coming back with more right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Come on. Welcome back into our WWL TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage. We're back here on WWL as we wait for Kellen Moore, who is approaching the podium right now. We're hearing from the coach after rounds 2 and 3 today. Recapping today's Saints picks, here's Coach Kellen Moore.
All right, guys. How's it going? You guys just want me to run through these guys really quick. I'll just do a quick thing on all three of these guys, and then we'll kind of take the questions. So starting with Tyler Shuck, we're really, really excited about the opportunity to get Tyler. 32 starts. He faced a lot of adversity through his career, battled through obviously multiple unfortunate injuries that kind of took him through a navigating process. But, as we went through this process, just the more touching points we had with Tyler, the more impressed we got. He was a guy who went through this whole process. I think it's unique when you have a guy who went through the Senior Bowl, did the whole entire combine, went through the visits. Scott went out there and saw him at Louisville. We had a 30 visit with him. Every interaction just really enforced the player that he was. And so as you go through this QB process, obviously never easy decisions with that. Just felt like he was a really good quarterback. He was ready. He's prepared. Obviously he's been through a lot in a good way. And so he's ready to compete in our quarterback room as it plays itself out. Going to Vernon, obviously just a phenomenal kid. Just the energy, the juice that he brings. Our chance to go out there for their pro day, we had a chance to kind of connect with a lot of those Texas guys, and obviously this is our second one that we got. So, he played behind a lot of premier defensive linemen when he was there, and so as a result, he kind of had to be patient. And sometimes you credit these guys that play the patient game, that kind of earn their opportunities on the field. And for him, obviously, it took a little while just as he waited his turn. But Bo and Terry had great relationships with him. Obviously, when you have people in-house who've invested with these guys, who spent a lot of time with them, huge advantage for us. His versatility on the defensive line, his ability to play in a number of positions, I think is going to be great for us. He's got length. He's got quickness. He can anchor. He's got good hands. He'll have a chance definitely to compete with our interior defensive line group. And then Jonas Sanker. This guy's a 3-year starter at Virginia, special teams. He's a captain. He just does everything. And this guy is, for us, we just felt really, really fortunate to be sitting there late in that draft. There's a lot of DBs that were going off the board. And for him to still be there and available to us, we're talking about him for a while. And so just really impressed by this guy. His play style, his instincts, his ability to, his tackling ability is really, really impressed. His ability to play on the back end. We're really fired up to have this guy. He'll obviously provide tremendous depth and add competition to the safety position there. So excited about all three. That was a big time day for us. We were really excited about it. And any questions?
You mentioned Tyler's the adversity on the phone call to him is one of the first things you said here. Like, why is that something that kind of stands out and is important in that scouting process?
Yeah, I think all quarterbacks go through adversity, and there's challenges as you go through this. And those guys who can handle adversity tend to thrive in this league. And so, Tyler certainly dealt with some that are very unfortunate. Especially when they're orthopedic injuries, they're not some of the other ones. They're just bones, and sometimes bones break, and you get in unfortunate situations. And for him to continue to rebound from those. those, and then play at such a high level this past year. Again, as we went through this process, you know, he kind of just built momentum as we kind of went through this whole thing.
Tyler's such a unique example, I think, even for the imperfect scouting process, of a guy who, at the Senior Bowl, I don't think he was on a lot of radars as being drafted as high he was, and sort of people caught up late to that. But, like, was he somebody that you guys recognized right away that everybody was just kind of missing on?
What?
This class?
I think it's a good question of momentum. You know, I think it's a momentum as you talk about this process. I think it's a good example of how long this process can be and how there's all these different touching base points and their potential building blocks for these guys. And for him, you know, for him to go, you know, compete in the Senior Bowl, to go to the combine, he just did everything and just went for it. Then he went and did his pro day and like all these different steps, and he just continued to take advantage of them. I thought it's a really good example. Our scouting department is really on this guy. They did a lot of work, you know, even going back to Texas Tech, back to Oregon. You know, these guys knew his whole story. They were really on him for a number of years. And so, you know, as coaches, we kind of join this process as it goes. And for those guys, they already kind of had this thing building. And for us to kind of come in and see all the work that had been done, and then to continue to interact with Tyler, again, momentum was definitely valuable to him.
A group effort, obviously, but would you say he was a guy that you personally really like, that he's like kind of your guy? I mean, look, there's a bunch of quarterbacks to pick from in this draft.
Yeah, we certainly feel great about him. You know, we feel like he's ready to compete in this group. I think we have a really competitive, really, really high level quarterback room. Obviously, you know, starting with Derek, you know, Derek's obviously dealing with his shoulder at the time, and so we'll kind of navigate that as it goes. But, you know, behind him, you know, now you got Spencer, you got Jake, you got Ben, you got Tyler. We got this really, really competitive group. You know, all these guys, really, you saw them coming through this process, and you're a big fan of all of them. And so, you know, we feel like we're in a really good space there to allow this thing to compete and kind of go through this process.
Would you compete for the starting job if Derek was healthy?
Obviously, we felt great about Derek. Obviously, we've been pretty consistent as we went through this process that we felt great about Derek. And so, obviously, we'll navigate the injury process this.
Is there any benefit to, like, Tyler's age and maturity and experience and exposure to a handful of systems, like just in how he sees the game and processes it? And, you know, what did you see when you kind of put him through some exercises?
It's a really good question. I think Tyler's experience, certainly there's value to that. You can see it in the classroom aspect of this thing. His ability to process football at a very easy rate in the classroom. It's really, really good when you throw him up there and you're watching film and you're talking about plays and concepts. He's got great exposure and he's got great experiences that he can lean on. He's been through a lot of different football, and you know, he's certainly a guy that is very, very comfortable in that space.
The quarterback position, do you view that as a positive? The older player as opposed to maybe a different position, the younger player might be preferable for the development.
You can certainly say that, you know, naturally that position, you can play a little longer within age, you know, just because of that, the style in which that position is played compared to so many other positions. And so, his experience is valuable. I mean, these guys are, you know, quarterbacks playing well into their 30s. You know, once they get their opportunity to take advantage of it, those guys can play for a little while.
Is that a big gap between Tyler and whoever the next quarterback will
be? A lot of good conversations, a bunch of guys right in there. And, as we went through this process, you know, we felt like there was a lot of good quarterbacks. And ultimately, you have to make a decision. They're never easy. You know, these guys never make it easy because there's a bunch of good quarterbacks coming in this league each and every year. And so you had to go through that process, conversations all the way up, you know, through today, really leading up to it. And so ultimately, you got to make a decision. You just got to go for it.
Did you talk about, like,
who's going to be there at 40? Did you make a call to go up at all, or were you got pretty confident to stay?
Yeah, we certainly you always have conversations about moving and whatnot, but you know, we felt pretty comfortable about staying at 40. We'd have a good opportunity there, you know, depending on how everything played out above us.
Colin, it's been three straight years since selected quarterback that played in the Senior Bowl. In fact, Derek Carr played there too. You played in the game, actually 4 out of 5 too, if you go back.
Yeah.
As well, what is it about that position to play in the game? And you've seen it both ways now for that quarterback, you know, playing the game and to be successful and to help him out.
I think that's a really good observation. I think for all these quarterbacks, this process is a very thorough process. There's so many touching base points, and we want to try and get into it as many times as we can. And so I wasn't a part of the Senior Bowl. I wasn't quite here yet, but certainly our scouting department was there. And so, you know, those guys get to get down on the field, spend time around this guy. You know, all these quarterbacks, you know, you can see a number of the guys in this class as well. You know, those are big time experiences. They put you through an uncomfortable environment. You see how these guys respond. I remember being in it as a quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings were our coaches, and you know, Bill Musgrave was our offensive coordinator, and you know, Craig Johnson was our quarterback coach. Kevin Stefanski was our assistant quarterback coach, and they throw you kind of in the fire, and it's a different system, and you're uncomfortable. But it's a really good exposure for you, and I think it's a great testing mark for these guys. And so, you know, certainly you've seen a lot of these guys who've been able to achieve. You know, great opportunities because of it.
What do you specifically like about the way Tyler plays the position?
Yeah, I think just great rhythm, anticipation. Certainly, he, you know, you feel like he can hit all marks of the field from a throwing perspective, and yeah, I think he's got a great feel for this game. You know, obviously, you love the system that he's been exposed to at three different places. You know, he's played some different styles, and so I think he's certainly comfortable and flexible within that. And so I think he's got a, you know, a mind and a arm that in that combination, he plays at a really high level.
Was there a time when it kind of all started to come together for him, or you saw it at each stop and between each injury? Then?
Certainly, I focus mostly on the Louisville experience. You know, obviously, you know the other experiences. There's some you see those in passing more in the past years, but you know, you spend a lot of time invested in this past year's work. That's the quarterback we're looking at right now, and so you know, we felt pretty good.
He was talking about your meeting, and he's talking about bad plays, negative plays. How you use that as a growing, learning experience? Is that kind of generally how you approach every position, or specifically quarterback?
I think with quarterback positions, yeah, I think for any position, you're always trying to give these guys real honest feedback. And so these guys are all got strengths. They all got great talent that obviously is putting them in this position. I think for all players, all coaches, every person in this situation, there's growth opportunities. And so I think it's always fun when you go through those meetings to kind of share some of those. Hey, here's probably the growth steps that I would encourage you to be focused on, and kind of see how they respond and how they acknowledge those. And so you know, these guys all have plenty of growth opportunities. They all have steps that they're going to continue to grow. This is a get in the door opportunity, and then what you make of it is obviously you know, coming forward. So you know, I think obviously he's just one of many of those guys.
You've used some of the like kind of off platform, kind of, for lack of a better term, trick shot throws. You know, like, do you want to kind of encourage some of that creativity, or do you kind of have to rein it in, or kind of pick your spots in that?
Just for him specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously any quarterback, you have to be able to play off schedule. You have to be able to throw at different arm angles. That's an important aspect of this game. You know, these rushers are really good in our league, and so you're going to have to move off the spot. And it's not always going to be clean, and you got to still be able to deliver. And so within that, you know, obviously guys always are going to have growth opportunities as far as the decision-making factor and when do you live to go to the next play and when you're trying to still create. And so all these guys, that's a thing that you're going to continue to build each and every year as you go through it, trial and error.
This is the highest the Saints have taken a quarterback since Archie Manning. And with that kind of investment, and what does that mean for Derek's future, not just this season, but maybe beyond that?
Yeah, we just felt like, you know, it was a really good player. Obviously, we felt good about Tyler through this process. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with ever investing in the quarterback room. We feel like there's a lot of depth in there now as we go through this process, and we'll just let it play out.
You've studied a ton of quarterbacks, obviously, in the last 5 or 10 years. Is there a guy that you think he's sort of like?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't want to throw too many comparisons as far as expectations, but you know, I think obviously there's a lot of quarterbacks in our league that, you know, play with the rhythm, the timing, the anticipation that he plays with. And so there's a lot of different styles. You know, there's a lot of guys in our league, the Jared Goffs, the Kirk Cousins, the guys that play with that rhythm and timing and feel for it. You know, he can run, and so, you know, obviously he doesn't use it all the time like some of the other quarterbacks, but he has the ability to run. Obviously showed it with the testing numbers that he provided, you know, through the combine. And so you feel like you're getting a really really good quarterback in that.
Can you run a lot of the stuff that you ran with Jalen Hurts, the, you know, the RPO type stuff with him, or is he a different guy?
I think it's probably a little bit different, but I think he does give you the tools to create some of that, and we'll just kind of see how it all plays out. We'll let that go, and you know, we'll see when you need it.
You know, inherited, like, you know, Dak, Justin, and Jalen. What was it like
just going through this process of trying to find your guy and where the things you were looking for that like he kind of checked along the way?
I would say every year you're evaluating the quarterback position just the same way you would any other year. Obviously, it just so happens to be we end up, you know, having the opportunity to just aligned with our pick and the opportunity to draft one. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways of playing quarterback. I think it's important that, you know, you have accuracy, you have timing, you have some of the anticipation, you have the, you know, you have the brain power to be able, you know, process the game. And you got to have an ability to play in some sort of off schedule or different arm angles. And I think those are important aspects of this thing. And so, yeah, we feel good.
What did you kind of learn along the way? I mean, I know you mentioned the adversity part, but like, kind of how he handles adversity in the moment, or like, is there anything you learned about how he kind of like to not get you down on himself, for instance? Like, what did that process kind of uncover?
A lot of great examples of throughout his career of, you know, just having an adversity moment, whether it be an injury or, hey, all these quarterbacks, you know, quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions. It's how you respond after that. And I think sometimes that's a fun task is when you're evaluating quarterbacks is watch them screw up, watch them throw an interception, see how they respond the next drive, see how they handle those different adversity moments. And so, you know, certainly Tyler was one that you felt like, you know, he had plenty of examples like that.
Is that something that you, I mean, he spoke a lot about you, Doug Nussmeier, as well as Scott Tolzien, all being former quarterbacks and how that could help him grow. How, you know, some of the things you just described feel like they're coming from a place of, you know, I've been there, I've done that. How important is that in the process of developing a quarterback for you and your staff?
I certainly feel very fortunate that we have Scott and Doug here. The experience that our room has as far as just guys who've been in that group. Scott Linehan's here as well as a senior assistant. He's longtime head coach, offense coordinator in this league. He's been around a bunch of quarterbacks who've done it a lot of different ways. And so I feel like we have this ecosystem, that hopefully is a really healthy environment that allows, you know, all these quarterbacks to continue to grow, not just Tyler. You know, and I know Tyler's, you know, today, but for Spencer to keep growing, for Jake to keep growing, for Ben to keep growing, for Derek to keep growing, for all these guys, hopefully we're creating a really healthy environment that allows these guys just to go play their best brand of football, and it'll all take care of itself.
Is that the kind of staff you intended to build specifically for this situation, or is that the kind of staff that you would have looked to build offensively regardless of where you would have ended up?
Certainly the quarterback position I think is a very valuable position. Obviously I have a lot of bias associated with that. Teaming up with guys that I've invested a lot of time over the last few years, Scott and Doug were both in Dallas when I was there at the same time. I've been with Scott for a number of years, a lot of different places as a player and a coach. And so I feel like we're creating a really healthy environment for these guys to grow.
I'm out of my depth here, but like I was watching some of his plays, and I'm just curious, like as someone that played quarterback, like there's a lot of plays where he's going to his left and like he's able to throw like kind of sidearm like against the momentum. Is that hard to do at that position, just kind of being a right-handed quarterback going that direction and throwing across your body?
Yeah, certainly the off schedule, the, you know, the body positions, quarterbacks get put in, you know, we'd all love to take a 5-step drop, nice and pretty, sit there, stand firm, throw the ball. It's all fun. And I think a lot of guys can check that box. It's the guys who, okay, it's not clean, it's not perfect. How do you handle the adversity? You know, he had some really battle-tested games where he's sitting in there at Notre Dame and he's taking a couple shots, he's gotten hit and he's hanging in there. And so a lot of examples of that.
You guys had 4 picks, you know, in the first 3 rounds. Saints have traded up a ton in the last decade or so. Was it important? Was that like a thing in that room? Let's try to make all 4 picks, or did it just work out that way?
Certainly, discussions happen. It played out, you know, really well. Obviously, having 9 picks, you know, for this draft currently, we feel like we can provide a lot of depth, a lot of youth into this roster, and so you know, I feel like we got 4 great opportunities so far through 2 days. You know, we got a number more tomorrow, and it'll be a lot of fun.
How would you describe the draft class as a whole, not individual to position, but how would you describe what you've achieved so far with this draft class, and what do you hope to achieve going into tomorrow?
That's a good question. I think so far with these 4 guys, I think you represent high character guys, a lot of guys who've been captains, who've been leaders in their different spaces, guys who've played a lot of football at big time programs throughout this country. And so all that experience, I think, is going to be really, really valuable for us.
Jonas specifically, Brandon's star position, or do you want to describe that? Is he a player that kind of profiles into that type of role?
He definitely provides flexibility on the back end. He can play in a number of positions. You see him on the back end playing with range. You see him in the box being a really physical tackler. Obviously, he has the ability to kind of match up in some different situations, and so he certainly will provide us with some flexibility, which I think is key for our back end, that for those guys to be able to line up in multiple spots and kind of, you know, allow us the creativity to do that.
Does he project like as a core special teamer too?
Yes. I think I had the note. I think 8 special teams tackles his senior year. So, you know, I think that's a really cool stat. You know, you're a big time player at Virginia and you're going and playing special teams as a senior. 8 tackles says a lot about him.
This might be a silly question, but does Tyler remind you of you at all, the way you like to play the game?
It's a great question. It's been a little while, so I don't know. I think certainly there's other quarterbacks that you've been around. I think as you go through the process, I think he just did an excellent job taking advantage of each and every opportunity, and I think he's in a good position.
I don't think we've asked you this yet. Does his age, was that a factor at all in your decision making? He's gonna be 26 by the time the season comes.
It's certainly a discussion point. I think we all should have that discussion point just to confirm it. But we saw it as a positive. He's been through a lot of football. He's been exposed to a lot of different settings. Going from Oregon, Texas Tech to Louisville, and so and the quarterback position again. These guys aren't reaching their peak for a while, and so he's going to continue to rise and grow.
When you're looking at a high draft pick like that and considering the age, do you kind of look at it as you're only looking at the next 4 to 5 years of the initial contract, or do you try to look beyond 8-10 years in the future? Is it like a long-term outlook, or this is what this player can provide?
I think you're looking at where's the growth opportunities, based off the age, where's the growth opportunities, and maybe a little bit projecting out beyond that first, that first contract, so to speak. But these quarterbacks will play plenty of years, and it's not like you're talking, 30 years old. I mean, he's going to turn 26. I mean, we're fine.
He's going to play out his full rookie deal, and
he's 30 or whatever. We can all do the math. It's fine.
Just so much often made of a player's age. So I always wonder if teams look at it as, okay, well, we're just gonna look at the first 4 years, and he's in his 20s, so that doesn't matter to us. Or if you're maybe saying I want a player around for 10 years, and then maybe it does matter. But I assume every team looks at that.
Yeah, you can do it differently, obviously. Again, for that position, I think it's great. Bo obviously was a great example last year. Bo Nix, he played a bunch of football in college, played a little extra, maybe than the traditional schedule, and he had a great year.
Seeing some of the physical things that work for him, that work for Tyler on film and everything, it's kind of easier to pick out the more physical things. What are some of the things maybe about him that stand out to you that maybe, unless you've been there, done that, you wouldn't notice?
On film? Okay. Yeah. I thought his exposure in the scheme that he played his last year, I thought was a great example of, he had a lot of tools at the line of scrimmage. He had the ability to get in and out of plays. Some of those intangible things I think are very valuable. So he has experience doing that, checking and making some decisions there at the line of scrimmage. And so, I think that's hugely valuable. Obviously he's played in, he's played in the action game. He's played in the quick game. I thought they had a cool blend. They play in the RPO and ball out game, but then they take their shots, and he can attack all levels of the game, and he's done all those. And so I think he's done a lot of things, which is a great advantage to him.
Do you expect that in your system some of those things are there, especially the ability to check in and out of plays and things like that? Like, is that something you plan to trust your quarterback with?
It's always something that I felt is a very valuable piece. Pretty much everywhere I've been as a player or a coach, it's always been important to embrace the quarterback has the tools, and they have the best view at the line of scrimmage. And so giving them the tools to make certain decisions, make little adjustments here and there, gives you the chalk glass, so to speak, and allows you to put yourself in the best position to be successful.
His arm talent is almost at the highest. How would you describe how good his arm talent is? That's his strong suit, right?
Yeah, he's got a great arm. Again, he can attack every aspect of the field, and he'll be fine.
Colin, you think with the quarterbacks, with the age now, with the NIL and college football, you think they're going to stay in college a lot more now, and quarterbacks, coming out, going to be a little bit older?
I think it's fair to look at it that way. I think the positives to NIL is it's maybe providing these guys some financial security that also allows them to develop in college a little bit longer, and so they get more experience there. Again, for some guys, once they get to the NFL, if they're not immediate starters, they're playing in two or three preseason games, and that's about it. And you're trying to find other development opportunities. Well, now you get a chance to play a little bit more in college, play a bunch of high big time games. There's a lot of positives that can potentially come out of this.
Vernon is he primarily D tackle? Can he play some on the edge as well?
Yeah, D tackle could probably start inside, but have the flexibility. Again, he can work his way out as you go. And obviously Bo having great experience with him. He's got the ability to line up in a number of spots, which was a big positive for us.
When you have versatility like that, or even using like Kelvin as an example, do you guys start out at one position and then like as the summer goes along, you introduce another position, or how does that kind of work?
Yeah, traditionally most players, you're going to create kind of a starting point and let them grow from there. And so, you got to build confidence in these players as they go. You don't want to overwhelm them with too much information and too many different things they got to figure out. You want to get them going, build the momentum, and then give them the versatility as they go.
As a team entered this week in need of a quarterback, are you surprised at how the first three rounds have played out specifically at that position?
Yeah, the quarterback position is always a unique one as far as, every draft. It seems like there's always some surprises here and there and in many different ways. And so, there's always surprises. There are always, there's some really good quarterbacks in this draft, certainly there's always going to be surprises.
It's one of those is Shedeur Sanders. I don't want to answer this, but why not him specifically, or was it just came down to Tyler?
He was right in those conversations. Again, as we talk about this, these are really tough decisions, and really good player. What he accomplished at Colorado, and you watch the film, it's really, really good. Think really highly of him. Ultimately, as you go through it, you gotta make a decision, and we felt like Tyler was the one for us.
Just to clarify, for Derek, there's no you didn't receive the clarity you guys were looking for from Wednesday.
No.
Did Derek's situation put more of an emphasis on we'd probably like to add a quarterback in this draft class because of that uncertainty, or?
We had kind of discussed this for a long time for the whole offseason, just as far as anytime if there's an opportunity to add value to that room, there's always you always want to take advantage of that, and so we discussed it for a while. All right, thanks, guys.
That was Saints head coach Kellen Moore wrapping up day two of the NFL draft, recapping the Saints picks for today. Louisville quarterback Tyler Shough taking in the second round, and two third round selections. That was Texas defensive lineman Vernon Broughton, and then Virginia safety Jonas Sanker. Tomorrow, gentlemen, we have five more picks on the board, and it'll be interesting to see, obviously, what this team goes, because there's still a lot of names like a Cam Scataboo and others still on the board.
I think fourth, fifth round. Man, there was running backs that could start to
only
peel.
Four went.
Well, you look at today. Running back and Deuce is saying, I agree, like a veteran cornerback. But you know what we haven't addressed, and I wanted Mikel Williams. Or what's the other guy that went to the Falcons?
Jalen.
Or Jalen Walker. Look at this. This ain't lying. This would happen last year. Okay, Brian Brzee, defensive tackle. Led the Saints last season with only 7.5 sacks. Do you know the Saints haven't had a player reach double-digit sacks since 2021? Man, that's a long damn time ago. Making them one of only six teams to not hit that mark over the past three seasons.
I bet you Atlanta was one of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Atlanta got no pass.
But they addressed it. Have we addressed it? No. I don't know. Bothers me.
There's one guy out there at surprise, and that's Jack Sawyer.
Yes,
Ohio State
edge guy, yeah. Yeah.
Really surprised me that he didn't get picked in round three. And so he's a bleed guy into the fourth round. But if you he was one of these guys. Man, watch my tape. I ain't got to work out for all these guys. That didn't work for him.
That'll get you in trouble.
No, you're a football player, but you're good, but you're not that good. Come on, you got to work out. You can't be scared. If you're scared, say you're scared. Like Ricky Jackson, no. They want you to work out. Work out. What are you scared of?
If you're scared, say
you're
going
to have 80,000 people watching you when you're playing a game.
You know why you wouldn't work out? Because you know you're not going to
you know you're not going to do well.
And that's right. That's
you know,
right.
You know why you're not going to test well. That's
I'm not taking the SAT test.
Because if you
took it once already.
If you're confident, you know you'll do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is a wrap, folks, on today's coverage. Join us for more Saints and NFL draft coverage starting tomorrow, 9 a.m. Draft First Take with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long. Then more of the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. We're going to be at Rouse's Market, Power Boulevard in Metairie.
Right up
here
the street.
On Saints Radio, WWL. Have a good night, everyone. And Bobby Hebert, give us a
who dat. Right.
Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who dat?
Who dat say go beat them Saints? Who dat? Who dat?